Hey there! I'm 1A producer Bianca Martin. Before the show starts, a quick reminder about an easy, new way to get the news each morning. Up First is a morning news podcast from NPR. In 10 minutes or so, while you're waking up, getting ready for work or commuting, you'll get a sense of the stories and big ideas of the day. Politics, science, the economy, and some culture too. Everything you really need to know and why it matters. Start your day with Up First. It's available weekday mornings by 6 Eastern Time on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for downloading the 1A podcast from WAMU and NPR for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. It is one of the most talked about shows of the year, but the Netflix teen drama 13 Reasons Why doesn't just have critics and viewers speaking up. A number of mental health professionals say the show's graphic depiction of suicide and the storyline behind it could be harmful to viewers who have thought of taking their own lives. 13 Reasons Why is about Hannah Baker, a girl who kills herself and leaves behind 13 audio tapes as a manifesto to her high school and her town. In the first episode, her classmate, Clay Jensen, finds a box of cassettes on his porch. He starts playing the first one on his dad's boombox and hears a voice that chills him.
Hey, it's Hannah. Hannah Baker. Don't adjust your whatever device you're hearing this on. It's me. Live and in stereo. Get a snack. Settle in. Because I'm about to tell you the story of my life. More specifically, why my life ended. And if you're listening to this tape, you're one of the reasons why.
Is this the right conversation to have about teenage suicide? And is 13 Reasons Why the right way to have it? Joining us to discuss it are Dr. Rona Hu, a psychiatrist and clinical associate professor at Stanford University's School of Medicine. She consulted on the program, and she joins us now from Stanford. Dr. Rona Hu, welcome to 1A.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Joining us from NPR in New York is Dr. Victor Schwartz, the chief medical officer of the JED Foundation, a nonprofit that works to prevent suicide among young people. He also teaches psychiatry at the NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Schwartz, welcome.
Hi, Josh. It's good to be with you.
And also in New York is Marissa Martinelli, a culture writer for Slate. She's been covering the reaction to 13 Reasons Why. Marissa, hello.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And before we go any further, please note that the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is open 24/7. Here's the number, 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. Dr. Victor Schwartz, let me start with you. What are the best practices in terms of the way we talk about suicide? Take 13 Reasons Why out of it for a second. What do we know works? What do we know helps in terms of the way we talk about suicide and mental health?
Well, so what we know helps is actually focusing on the fact that suicide is a relatively rare event, although thoughts about suicide are quite common. And when messaging around suicide focuses on the opportunities and possibilities of getting help, the fact that, you know, support from friends and family, from trusted adults and trusted others can be protective and helpful, and that getting care when it's necessary, getting professional care, whether that's talk therapy or medication therapy or other forms of treatment, also can save lives and prevent suicide death. So when messaging focuses on opportunities to get help and care, we know that actually is protective.
Marissa Martinelli, sum up for us what some of the reaction to 13 Reasons Why has been like. Has it differed? I assume it's differed between age groups, but how would you characterize the different kinds of reactions the show's been getting?
Well, the show has been critically very acclaimed. Critics have praised the performances of the actors, particularly Katherine Langford, who plays Hannah Baker, the young woman who kills herself. It has very compelling performances. I've spoken to a lot of school counselors who tell me that it's especially popular with the middle school crowd. There's something, you know, sort of aspirational about any show about high schoolers that appeals to people who are a little bit younger. Mental health professionals obviously have been very vocal in saying that the depiction of suicide can be problematic, but it has received praise for being a very head-on look at bullying, slut-shaming, and some other issues that high schoolers deal with.
It's worth knowing that Netflix followed the series with a half-hour special called 13 Reasons Why Beyond the Reasons. It was kind of a response to the program. The executive producer of the show, Brian Yorkey, says that having the suicide take place on screen, and the series does actually depict this suicide, actually should, at least from his perspective as an executive producer, make this act seem less romantic to young people. Here's a piece of that half-hour special.
We had a number of people ask us along the way why we had Hannah kill herself in the way we did and why we showed it. We worked very hard not to be gratuitous, but we did want it to be painful to watch because we wanted it to be very clear that there is nothing in any way worthwhile about suicide.
That's executive producer Brian Yorkey speaking in a half-hour special called 13 Reasons Why Beyond the Reasons. Dr. Rona, who you consulted on the program, was this half-hour special part of your consultation? Was it something you suggested, something they wanted to do? How did that go?
It was something that they wanted to do because they knew that suicide is a very serious problem. And within the confines of the novel, which was then made into the show, it's fiction. And so Beyond the Reasons was an opportunity to talk about the mental health issues apart from the confines of the plot.
What else did you work with the producers on in terms of adapting this novel from 2007, which the show is based on, the novel 13 Reasons Why, adapting the novel into a TV show? What sorts of suggestions did you make to the production team?
That's a very good question. The novel from 2007 was extremely popular, but there were some possible concerns about it. It's a little under 300 pages, and it takes place over the course of one evening, and so it only has Hannah's voice as a narration and Clay's reaction, response to it. So there wasn't any opportunity for backstory of any of the other characters. There were hardly any adults featured in the book, and so one of the things that I wanted to do was to be able to consult on some of the nuances of the story.
Dr. Victor Schwartz, I understand you were approached by the show's producers as well. What was that conversation like?
Well, so soon before the show was about to be released, we were approached by the producers to talk about how we might work together to provide some resources and educational opportunities based on the platform of the show around mental health and some of the other related issues that we've talked about already, like bullying and sexual assault and suicide. And also, they spoke with us about doing a training with the cast members, because there was certainly a thought that as the show was released, there would be opportunities where they would be in a position of talking about mental health and suicide to the media. So we wanted to make sure that they had an understanding of some of the language that can be more or less helpful. And finally, we spoke with them about just kind of looking at the resources that they were providing and seeing if there were opportunities to enhance some of those resources to make sure that what was going to be on the site was, kind of thorough and full enough to be supportive of the needs of people potentially viewing the show.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned mental health professionals and resources. We got a lot of calls about 13 Reasons Why, including this one from Krista. She is a mental health service worker in Cincinnati.
Initially, I thought it was a good public service announcement for mental health, maybe for parents to look for warning signs, teachers in the schools, and also for other students to recognize it in their peers. But now, lately, I've been seeing in my teen clients that kids are actually quoting the movie when they're talking to me about how they're feeling. Not to validate that, but it's kind of making the assessment a little bit more difficult. We obviously take every suicidal ideation seriously, do an assessment, and do a crisis plan. But I'm curious now with other mental health service workers to see if they're seeing the same thing after the show had premiered on Netflix.
Hey, Krista, thank you for calling in from Cincinnati. Marissa Martinelli, talk a little bit more about that specific response from mental health providers to dealing with 13 Reasons Why.
Well, I spoke to school counselors at the high school and middle school levels, and for a lot of them, they have also seen 13 Reasons Why as a way of approaching this subject, not that they're raising it, but that students are raising it, because students are watching the show and reading the book. And fiction can be a very useful entry point, is the sense that I've gotten. However, this show has a lot of baggage in its depiction of suicide. You know, it's been accused of romanticizing suicide, of promoting this idea of sort of a revenge fantasy and an unrealistic idea about what happens after you die, in that Hannah is able to control the narrative after she dies. So what I've seen is that school counselors are using it as a way to correct some ideas that it promotes about suicide, intentionally or otherwise, and sort of shape the conversation in a more healthy direction.
That's Marissa Martinelli, a culture writer for Slate. In just a moment, we'll talk about the controversial scene in 13 Reasons Why that shows Hannah's suicide. Stay close.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from thinkaboutyoureyes.com. Did you know that your eyes are windows to your soul and your body's health? In fact, a yearly comprehensive eye exam could detect early signs of serious health issues like diabetes, heart disease, or even the possibility of stroke early enough for you to seek treatment. Be sure to visit your eye doctor every year, and you just might save more than your vision. Find an eye doctor near you at thinkaboutyoureyes.com.
Summer movie season gets louder and longer every year. I'm Linda Holmes. For a guide through the blockbusters you know about and the surprise bright spots you might not, Pop Culture Happy Hour has you covered. We'll tell you what we're looking forward to, what we're secretly dreading, and what might just sneak up on all of us. Find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or wherever you get podcasts.
Dr. Rona Hu, I watched the first three episodes of 13 Reasons Why, and it's a fabulous show. Just as a television program, it's an incredibly well-made show. I made the mistake before we went on the air of watching the scene where Hannah kills herself, just so I could speak from context, and I am still shaken up. And I feel like that's part of the point. Like, for people like me who don't know what it's like to deal with suicidal thoughts, isn't that supposed to be partly what the show does, is to break our hearts for Hannah? What's the harm in that?
The show is, I think, something that is meant to spark some honest conversations with people who have been suffering and with the people that they love. And I think the show definitely achieves that. The scene that you talk about is something that's been controversial. And when I consulted on the show with the producers from Netflix, I talked with them about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention guidelines, which in general tell media not to go into detail about suicide. And those are guidelines usually for covering a real suicide event. And so they had some different concerns in adapting a novel, a fiction novel, to the screen. Some of the writers who were involved and some of the producers had real experiences with mental health and suicide in themselves or their loved ones. And so one of the writers, for example, Nick Sheff, wrote a very moving article for Vanity Fair about his own experience and how he felt that knowing about what suicide was really like saved his life. So I did consult with them about that the recommendations scientifically would be to not show the suicide itself, but their lived experience and their desire to portray it in a way that wasn't glorifying it, I think they worked very hard on that. Some of the other shows and movies that you've seen where suicide is depicted show it as being very peaceful or beautiful. And I think they worked very hard on having it be tragic and sad instead of appealing in any way. So I think they worked very hard on that.
We got a number of emails from listeners who had seen the show, including one parent. Brianna tweeted us, "As a parent, I believe 13 Reasons Why is a breath of fresh air. It portrays the reality of our world today and starts the conversation." Lisa tweeted us that her 14-year-old daughter told her, "I like 13 Reasons Why a lot. It shows different things that are wrong with teens today. I think you should watch it." And The Real Dave Petrie tweeted, "As our town mourns a teen who decided to end his life this week, Thank you for discussing teen suicide. We need to do more to prevent it. Marissa, what kinds of conversations have you found this show has started between the generations about what teenagers are dealing with today?
Well, I think the show has gotten a lot of praise for depicting specifically the way bullying and rumors can affect one particular fictional character. It's, of course, important to remember that different people are affected by things in different ways. Slut-shaming certainly is a major issue that Hannah deals with, and this shows, you know, the way that Hannah is made into almost an object within her high school because of rumors that she's, you know, a slut as they perceive her.
And also just because of what she's done, but also she's sexualized by others and rumors begin spinning and social media gets involved and it just kind of metastasizes.
Right. And multiple school counselors I spoke to highlighted a scene very early on where Hannah is going down a slide and another student takes a picture of her. And because of the angle and because, you know, you can see up her skirt a little bit, that photo is taken wildly out of context. It's spread throughout the school, and it really does show the damage that in an age where high schoolers have social media and cell phones, that can get out of control, and cyberbullying does not stop when students leave school.
Let me play one more clip from the show. In the final episode, Hannah tries to discuss her problems with the school counselor, Mr. Porter, and the conversation ends when Mr. Porter kind of tells Hannah she needs to just move on with her life. Here's another clip from 13 Reasons Why.
Thank you, Mr. Porter.
Okay. There's more to talk about, other resources?
No, I think we figured it out. I need to move on and get over it.
Hannah, I didn't say get over it, but sometimes that's the only other option.
Look, you're right. Okay, I know.
Hey, Hannah, you can sit down. You don't need to be in a hurry.
I need to get on with things, Mr. Porter. If things aren't going to change, then I just better get on with it, right?
Hey, Hannah.
That's Derek Luke as Mr. Porter and Catherine Langford as Hannah in 13 Reasons Why. Dr. Victor Schwartz, I wonder about that portrayal of the people around Hannah who apparently just kind of sloughed her off, didn't try to engage. What do you think about the way that the show deals with that aspect of it?
Well, so that is one of the challenges and concerns, and I think it's important, again, to frame this as a kind of cautionary tale that the storytelling here is conveying the way things shouldn't go in people's lives. But what we are seeing is, you know, repeated failures in both empathy and in, you know, friends reaching out to friends. And, you know, sadly, the adults, including the school counselor, are really failing pretty dreadfully in recognizing that something is amiss with Hannah, that, you know, a number of episodes have gone in really unhelpful directions. And this has been one of the concerns that's been raised that, you know, for younger people, and I also want to remind people that the show is rated TVMA.
Right.
So you should be thoughtful about, you know, with really younger kids, with middle school kids, you know, watching the show, because they may not get what the show is trying to do.
Can I just ask you to clarify one thing that you just said? You said that it goes in an unhelpful direction. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, in terms of the interaction with the school counselor, he really kind of misses what's happening with Hannah and seems himself kind of uneasy pursuing what she seems to be trying to tell him and, you know, doesn't pursue her after she abruptly leaves, even though she's, you know, clearly very distraught. So the concern is for young viewers who may themselves be thinking about approaching an adult or a school counselor or going for therapy, conveying that, you know, therapy may let you down, which of course sometimes it might, but more often than not, we hope that people are finding it helpful. And we know that people in treatment are, you know, in many, many cases getting very valuable help for their problems. So the concern is that it might be, you know, have a somewhat chilling effect on young people thinking about approaching their school counselor if they take this a little bit too literally.
Casey wrote us on Facebook, "This series is actually a pretty accurate representation of what school life is like these days. Life can be damaged with the click of a button via social media. Those who say this show glorifies suicide ignore the fact that many of the characters feel great pain at the loss of their friend. It highlights the fact that what we say and do really has an effect on people." Dr. Ronahue, how much of the half-hour special we mentioned, Beyond the Reasons, deals with social media specifically? That plays a big factor in not just Hannah's life and her untimely end, but also in the whole life of the school and the other drama that goes on among the other characters.
That's a big part of the show, and it's included in Beyond the Reasons in talking about how damaging social media bullying can be, and that people from my generation, you know, the people who didn't grow up as digital natives, we often underestimate the pervasiveness and often the awfulness of cyberbullying.
Marissa, how much, I wonder, is Netflix in damage control mode? You know, there have been a number of counselors and, as we heard, school counselors and also mental health counselors who said this has really rocked the way that they deal with these issues. The superintendent of Palm Beach County Schools, the district that I grew up in, sent a letter to parents saying that the district is seeing an increase in students harming themselves, threatening to commit suicide, and similar incidents. The students have cited 13 reasons why in this. How is Netflix responding to all this?
Netflix has, over the past few weeks, sort of maintained the idea that the most important thing is that the show is sparking discussions about teenagers and suicide. That has not gone over great with mental health professionals because the conversation has been dominated by correcting the show rather than speaking more broadly about teens and suicide. But just yesterday, actually, Netflix announced, BuzzFeed broke the news, that they are planning to update their content warnings. So originally the show was released with content warnings before three of the episodes, suggesting that there was graphic content and specifically visual depictions of sexual assault and suicide, although they were vague in their description, so you may not have known what was coming. Netflix has now said that they're going to give more specific language ahead of those episodes, along with actual resources, which is crucial, so that people who need help can seek it and be prepared. They're also going to issue a precaution at the very beginning of the series so that people who are just starting know what they're getting into.
Dr. Schwartz, what would you suggest for parents who are beginning to grapple with 13 Reasons Why and need to talk to their kids about this, whether they've seen the show or not?
Yeah, so, you know, to start out with, again, I just want to emphasize that people should take the rating seriously. So this might not be suitable for middle school kids and even younger high school kids. And I want to emphasize, too, that if young people or anyone who might choose to view it has grappled with serious anxiety or depression issues or, you know, suicidal thoughts or feelings in the past, it just may not be that serious. Sensible for them to be watching the show. And just a final thought about this, if a young person is beginning to watch the show or an adult as well, and finding that it's just overwhelming them, and this is a particularly a problem with younger kids who are maybe binge watching the show, you need to kind of manage the dosing, particularly, again, if you're finding yourself emotionally overwhelmed, having trouble sleeping, having trouble digesting the material in the show, you should probably stop watching it. Speak to an adult who you trust, or get some professional help if your feelings aren't settling down. And parents, as much as possible, should be either watching with their high school age kids, or at least watching in parallel and talking about what they're experiencing, really helping them think through how they might have made decisions differently in circumstances and situations that come up in the show.
And maybe in that way, it's good for parents, if their kids are going to watch it with them, because there are plenty of examples in the show of people who don't deal with any number of calamities in the right way, who
Absolutely.
Just go in really wacky directions. And it's easy to say, okay, that's not what we should do. What should we do if something comes up? Anita
exactly.
in Rockville, Maryland writes, "My daughter's school issued a very good email to all parents concerning the show because girls were discussing it and teachers watched some of it so they could address the issue from a knowledgeable standpoint. I'm not sure if this series is for entertainment or as a lesson about bullying, cell phones, and social media. Netflix is certainly benefiting from this whole exposure episode, which is just so suspect. I don't have Netflix, and now I'm glad I don't. Stephanie, who attends the University of Florida in Gainesville, emailed us, "What about the sexual assault in the show? There are many moments where the show does a good job showing typical reactions to sexual assault, like, did you say no? Were you drinking? But there weren't many moments where the show demonstrated how you actually should approach sexual assault victims." Dr. Ronohue, can I just ask you, what, from your perspective, what did the show's creators want to get out of the program? Were they viewing it just as a TV show we think should be made, or was there a larger mission in the program?
I'm absolutely convinced that all of the people involved in the show had the best intentions. I spoke with the producers, writers, met with members of the cast, and I didn't see every single person, but all of the ones that I met were very sincere in their desire to make a show that would be helpful for a problem that they realized was very serious. So I think that all of their intentions were very good. That's my opinion.
And Marissa, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time. Marissa, how are you seeing young people mobilize on social media about this, perhaps?
Well, the show has sort of sparked a lot of conversations about suicide, certainly on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter. There have also been this sort of subset of teenagers who find the show a little bit ridiculous. There's a meme out there that's called "Welcome to Your Tape," which sort of makes light of the very concept of the show. Netflix actually at one point tweeted to get in on the meme, which I think was a little bit, tone deaf for the issue itself. But this is so far the most tweeted about show of 2017. People are watching, people are talking about it, and that includes young people.
That's Marissa Martinelli, a writer for Slate. Marissa, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Ronohue, the medical director of the Acute Psychiatric Inpatient Unit at Stanford Hospital. Doctor, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Dr. Victor Schwartz, the chief medical officer for the Jed Foundation. Thank you, doctor.
And thanks for having me on.
That's it for the podcast. Earlier on the broadcast, we talked about what makes a hate group and who gets to decide. You'll find that conversation and every segment of every show online at the1a.org. That's the word the number one, the letter a.org. You'll also find more resources for suicide prevention or for people who may have mental health challenges that they might need some help dealing with, the1a.org. And one more time, here's that number to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-TALK. I don't know if you heard it in my voice today, but that show really shook me. It's a really heartbreaking story. And if this fictitious story on Netflix could touch me and you're dealing with something, imagine what your story could mean to someone else who's ready to listen. So share it. Here's the number again, 800-273-TALK. That's 800-273-8255. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening.